Yes.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, Dina Woloka on behalf of the appellant, Adair Holdings. The nature of the case that is before the court this morning is that of quiet title. This action was filed by my client following the issuance of a treasurer's tax deed from Franklin County. The former property owner filed an answer and a counterclaim for quiet title in this matter. A hearing was held on their summary judgment motion, and the lower court did hold for the appellee and found that the treasurer's deed was void and that the lien represented by the tax certificate was invalid and had no force in effect. We did file this appeal, which is now before the court. This case is based on a tax sale certificate. It was purchased by my client's predecessor in interest in March of 2014, and it represented the unpaid property taxes for the years 2012. They continued to pay those taxes for 2013, 2014, and 2015. When the certificate matured in March of 2017, my client's predecessor in interest then did provide notice to Mr. Johnson via certified mail.
That notice was inaccurate, correct?
Your Honor, it was accurate, but it did contain a misstatement of the law.
Which makes it inaccurate, correct?
It's our position that it substantially complied with the noticing requirements because it did contain everything. Extra 45 days, that part of the statute was kind of fluid. It never really went into effect. So it did contain a misstatement of the law.
But the evidence here is that the appellee did attempt to tender the payment within the notice that was given.
That's what is alleged.
So that's the evidence in the record at this point, is it not?
It is, but that was after the deed was already issued. So it's our position that the deed is valid. But alternatively, it's our position if this court should find that deed was invalid because of this notice, that we are still entitled to redemption.
Was that issue brought up before the trial court?
It was.
Can you point to where it is in the pleadings or the record?
I believe it was in the brief brought up by the appellee. And in their affidavit from Mr. Johnson.
Was it raised by the appellant?
It was raised by the appellee.
So the reinstitution of the redemption obligation was never requested by the appellant to the trial court?
No, it was not. Okay. And I think the trial court took that upon itself to say that it was the lien was of no force in effect. And if you will look to our brief, there's a string of case law by this court that shows that even if the tax deed is void, it doesn't mean that the lien itself is void. I think the appellee does cite to one case that they found that the tax lien was void, but in that case, the purchaser of the tax certificate later acquired the life estate interest in the property, and the court held that as the property owner, they had the duty to pay the taxes, so there was no lien in that case when the tax deed was void.
Let's say that we go forward with the proposition you're forwarding here. Would that just be a perpetual lien then without an enforcement mechanism?
No, I believe that it just means that the property owners or the delinquent taxpayers' right of redemption just hasn't been extinguished, and so they would still have, I think the court would have to set a timeline I don't know if it would be another 3 months as it was before the deed was issued. I know there are other jurisdictions, Iowa is an example, where the court will specifically give the taxpayer an additional 30 days to redeem those taxes.
Are you referring to any Nebraska rules or statute?
They're silent on this issue, Your Honor.
So the remedy would invite some freelancing here. How much time are you going to give?
Yeah, unfortunately, okay. I think it would be at the discretion of the district court as the amount of time that they would give to the property owner to redeem those taxes.
So it's a case in equity
and an equitable remedy could be devised by the court. That's the heart of your argument.
Yes.
The statute that that clearly extinguishes those liens says if you don't apply, the time expires, then it's extinguished.
That's correct, Your
but
Honor.
Your argument that that doesn't apply here is you did apply.
Correct. Correct. That is exactly our argument, Your Honor. Because we did take what we believe were the correct steps for the noticing, and we did apply, then that statute that would not be in effect here. excuse me. If no more questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Nort, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chief Justice. May I please the court? It's an honor to be here this morning. My name is Nick Norton. I represent the appellee, Dennis Johnson, in this case. This case involves tax sale certificates, and that's been a topic of some conversation around the state over the last year or so. However, the reasoning that the district court used here is not new. It's been around for over 100 years. In 1894, the Supreme Court in Thompson versus Dickey held that the statements required to be in the notice are as jurisdictional as the notice itself. In 1914, the court in Stewart v. Ridner explained further that it doesn't have to match the exact words of the statute, but it can't be misleading. Unless there be any doubt about what's misleading or not misleading, the court went further to say that specifically, if it misstates the time for redemption, it's misleading. Therefore, the notice is of no effect, it's void. That's exactly what happened in this case. The legislature has changed the law in this area more times than most people have rotated their tires in the last decade. None of those have taken effect, and I think that's where the confusion came from. The notice was an accurate statement of the 2012 version of the statute, but that version of the statute wasn't in effect. So the notice provided that, should have provided that there was 3 months to redeem before an application would be made for a tax deed. It said that, and then it went one step further to say that if you're an owner-occupant, you get another 45 days.
And that was wrong.
That was wrong. And that's a textbook example of what this court has settled 115 years ago in the Stewart v. Ridner case.
Did your client rely upon that?
I don't believe that my client relied upon that at the time that he found out about the tax deed. So what the appellant has argued is, well, the tax deed had already issued, and so that reliance doesn't matter. I disagree with that contention for a couple of reasons, primarily because the statutes don't have any element of reliance as a factor. These statutes, the court has held, I guess I think back to my property class, my first year of law school, that the law abhors forfeiture. And the case law in Nebraska has been clear that on tax sale statutes, they're to be strictly construed against the tax sale certificate holder. The statute has to be complied with to the letter, and if it's not, then that weighs in favor of the property owner.
So detrimental reliance would not be material to our consideration?
No, Justice. I don't believe that detrimental reliance has anything to do with this case because the statute doesn't provide for it.
If the court were to agree, at least to some extent, with the appellant, what would be a suitable outcome?
Well, Your Honor,
what would be an equitable outcome?
Sure. Well, it was raised in the district court, and the district court didn't determine the law or the case on these grounds. But even if there's some reliance that should be read into the notice requirement, even if that were the case, there's another issue here related to a very specific provision of the Nebraska Constitution. Article 8, Section 3 of the Nebraska Constitution provides that in these tax sale situations, occupants of the subject real estate shall in all cases be served with personal notice before the time of redemption expires.
What does that mean with respect to mail? Is mail notice personal notice?
I believe it could be. And obviously this court decided the Wisner case last year, actually while I was drafting my brief on summary judgment, so I had to change that a little bit. But the statutes provide that service shall be made by certified mail, and if upon diligent inquiry the person cannot be found, then they move to publication. That I have due process issues with that, but I don't think we have to get into that today, because there is a specific constitutional exception for occupants of the property. So whether publication, as in Wisner, where you have the property owner living in a nursing home as opposed to the property that's subject to the tax deed, here, my client lived on the subject property. There's no dispute about that. There's actually no facts in dispute at all, because everything was admitted in the trial court. He was in open possession of the property. I don't know if it's in the record. It had been in his family for 100 years. So he's an occupant, and that deserves a higher level of protection, as the drafters of our Constitution obviously thought.
Neither party asserted a constitutional challenge to the statute, correct?
I argued in the lower court that the statute violated the due process clause as well as this specific Article 8, Section 3, provided a copy of the motion for summary judgment along with the briefing to the Attorney General's office.
Is that in our record?
The briefing would not be. I assume the certificate of service to the Attorney General's office would be attached to the motion. But I didn't spend a lot of time talking about due process because of Article 8, Section 3, because it specifically applies to this situation. Whether the publication statute at 77-1834 is unconstitutional facially or not doesn't really affect the appellee's argument here, which is it's unconstitutional as applied. If publication is the only method of service of notice, which it was, then that flies directly in the face of Article 8, Section 3 of the Constitution.
Was a Rule 9e notice filed in this court?
No, Your Honor. And part of the reason for that is because that's not the grounds that the district court decided the case on.
So what do we make of the, assuming we're thrown in with you or that you're entitled to, that the tax deed is void, what do we do with this argument about the continuing effect of the lien and that they should have gotten the their money back, if you will?
Sure.
Isn't that equity?
It may be equity, except for the case law in Stewart v. Ridner, in speaking directly to the question of how equity applies in these tax sale situations, and the court noted it in the order on summary judgment, the court stated that the arbitrary terms of a revenue law, which prescribes in definite language the conditions under which a landowner may be divested of title, cannot be changed by construction to meet varying conditions or to conform to the promptings of equity. If the application, if the tax deed is void, it's because the application was void because no notice was properly provided.
But the statute that talks about the lien being discharged talks about the time expiring or they didn't apply for a treasurer's deed, right?
Yes, yes,
and
it does.
And you don't fit either of those, do you?
I think that we do.
So how?
And so the logical path to get there is this. The Chapter 77, Section 1856 from the 2009 reissue provides that if you have 6 months from the expiration of 3 years from the initial purchase of the certificate to make application for a tax deed or to institute.
So if I sort of maybe short-circuit this, where you're headed, I think, is, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying if they didn't follow all the steps in the tax deed foreclosure process to obtain a tax deed with valid compliance with all of those requirements under that discharge statute, they didn't apply for a tax deed. That's the
thrust of it.
Yeah, okay.
I think that there's some nuance there, and it kind of depends on why the tax deed is being voided. In this case, it's because the notice was void, because it didn't comply with the law. If the notice was void, Black's Legal Dictionary tells us that means it's of no legal effect. It didn't happen. So if the notice wasn't given, and now it's too late to give the notice, the case law, Alexander v. Schaefer, again back to 1894, held that the predecessor statute to 77-1856 was not just a limitation on the remedy, but it was a durational limitation on the lien itself. The appellant said that she had a listing of a string of cases that supported the proposition that the lien was still in effect. There's 13 cases listed. 9 of them don't talk about that issue. 3 of them do support that argument, but the issue wasn't presented to the court. It was dicta, essentially.
Can you point us to a case where a tax sale case where the court granted quiet title to the landowner, but the landowner was not required to pay back the taxes?
I'm out of time. May I answer that?
You may.
There's one case that's listed in my brief, and when I went back and read it, it's King v. Boucher, 96 Neb 319, and that's the one that the appellant mentioned involved a life estate. It's not really clear to me whether the discharge of the tax lien was because of the life estate and the merging of the interests there, or if it was because of the operation of the statute. That's the only case that I've seen that comes close to that issue, but I also don't know that 77-1856 has ever been squarely presented for determination under these facts. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. 4 minutes and 37 seconds.
4 minutes and 37 seconds. Ms. Woloka.
Thank you. The appellee keeps saying that the notice was void, but actually, in the facts of this show that the notice did exactly what it was designed to do. However, Mr. Johnson got wind of the tax deed, whether it was publication. He obviously didn't claim his letters, and the court would be rewarding him for not paying his taxes and not picking up his mail if the case is allowed to stand, the holding is allowed to stand as it is. But it got him into the treasurer's office within that 45 days to make redemption. Now, the treasurer refused to accept the redemption. If this court finds that the deed is void, I think that my client is entitled to the redemption. And I know you asked about a time period for that. Perhaps that's another 45 days. That would at least be a guideline for the district court on what the redemption should be. And I would further, the King versus Boucher case, it does say in the holding, just as I said, that the gentleman who had the tax lien then got the life estate and essentially became responsible for the property taxes, and that therefore there was no lien. And so it did not ignore the lien, though it voided the tax deed. There are no more questions. I have nothing further.
Thank you very much. The next case of the day is actually a consolidated case, Goes versus Vogler and Franklin Drywall versus Vogler.